is Friday, April 8th. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I am coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago, the Midwest metropolis of political corruption. I thank you for listening to RBN and to this program. You are listening to RBN because you can handle the truth. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, email me at Deanna@Spingola.com. Be sure to check my radio schedule page at Spingola.com to see past and future guests and links to their websites. Don't forget to watch Bernard von Nothaus, who was on this program yesterday, on Judge Andrew Napolitano's program tonight on the other Fox channel opposite Bill O'Reilly. We will take calls in the second hour of the program when I open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour, and the host of her own program called The Heretics Hour. Carolyn also writes articles for the Barnes Review, my favorite periodical. If you are interested in accurate history, check out the Barnes Review. Carolyn's website sites are CarolynYeager.com and EllieWieseltattoo.com. Carolyn, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Deanna. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm very good today.
Good, good. I'm happy to have you back on the program. We always just have such a good time together when we can chat.
I have some things I'm very interested in talking to your listeners about, and I even have a title for today's program.
Okay.
You will forgive me. Very simple, Frauds and Hoaxes. That's
okay.
How I see it. And I've got some good ones and some, they're fairly new. They're new, some new stuff, not the same old ones, because there's always plenty to go around.
Oh, absolutely. Are you talking about Dennis Avey?
Yes, that's the first one. And then
yes.
I've got a few others when we, if we finish with him.
Okay. Right. Now, he has a new book called, The Man Who Broke Into Auschwitz, just came
yes.
out.
Excuse me. Yes, he does. And you know, what's interesting is that his book, his story, turns out to be a very close copy of a story of a man who also said he broke into Auschwitz and is quite well known, Charles Coward, also British, who wrote his book, or someone wrote a book about him, the password is Courage, and then they made it into a movie. And it's so much the same story, it's pretty amazing. The movie was made, it came out in 1962. And this Charles Coward also testified at the Nuremberg Tribunal about, and you know, his story is also not true. But it's not quite as crazy, well, some parts of it are, as this Dennis Avey, who has really copied his story. And I guess they figure that, you know how they do. They just keep repeating. You've talked about that. They recycle a good thing, and they don't care. You know, they don't worry about people catching on and saying, hey, you know, this is an old story. We've heard this before. And they're talking about making what a great movie his book, Dennis Avey's book, will make, too. So we'll have another movie on the same theme of some British prisoner of war breaking into Auschwitz, the Jewish part, supposedly, and telling his, extravagant story about what he found there. So.
Interesting, interesting. Oh. Well, we are going to a break, and we will be back after 3 minutes and some messages from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with Lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour. Her website is CarolynYeager.com and EllieWieseltattoo.com. Now, you also wrote a story about Dennis Avey last year on your own website called Dennis Avey, The Man Who Would Be Righteous, and that's on your website, CarolynYeager.com. And you also, it was also on the Revisionist blog, which is revblog.codoh.com. And, you know, people who write these books don't really believe that the American public is going to read them. And so they can repeat the stories and people will believe them because so many people get all of their news either from the television or they go to the movies and they think that those movies, the stories in the movies, represent reality when in fact they aren't reality at all, but they're, you know, a fabrication, fictitious fabrication of somebody's mind.
Yeah. Yeah, they take the story and then they fictionalize it even more in the movie. I mean,
sure.
It's already fictionalized, you know, in the telling of it, and then the writing of the book is fictionalized, and then they make the movie and fictionalize it further. For example, in this Charles Coward movie, which I have not read his book or seen the movie, unless I saw it a long time ago and don't remember, but I don't think so. They say that they left out a large part of it. They actually left out a lot of the breaking into Auschwitz part, probably because it was so far-fetched. And they focused on his heroic actions before that and, you know, after that and so on. And they pretty much played down that part. They just sort of suggested it. So I've read. So,
certainly.
You know, this is how they play around with this stuff. And that I'm glad you brought that up, and I would like to make it real clear to the listeners that I want to say that, you know, frauds and hoaxes are not something unusual. This is not unusual. Just about everything we get anymore, and maybe for a lot longer than we think back when, things were, but back maybe a long time ago when things were kind of, they were sort of dreamized, or, you know, they were made nice and pretty for everyone. But now we get actual propaganda, lies, hardcore, and this is like you say, our reality around us, in which it's very hard to find something that you can actually believe in or trust. And it's,
sure,
it's kind of terrible to live in a world where you can't trust anything anymore.
Sure. You know, I had Stephen Jacobson on the program on Wednesday.
I listened. Very good.
And, you know, I've had him on the program before, and it was amazing the first time I heard it. And the second mm-hmm. time, I mean, he gave us, you know, similar information as he had mm-hmm. back in November. But in just those few months, I had forgotten. But my goodness, when you realize that most everything that we see on TV, including broadcast news, is fabricated, and that it's all kind of orchestrated by the government and the corporate media in the hands of five multinational companies. And you think, oh, my gosh, what is real? What is real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have to be very careful. And there is the real. And this is why this is kind of hard to talk about, and I don't really want to get off on this. But, you know, you have to get in touch with your inner self, you know, with yourself, with the real part of yourself. And then you can check out how you feel about things. And you really will get a feeling if you get into being able to listen to yourself.
Sure.
And that's to me, that's the best source, because you can't trust anything outside of yourself as well as you can trust that.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. We should study every issue out. We should study it in our own mind. And then draw some conclusions, evaluate, meditate on something, and then draw some conclusions outside of what the media would have us believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, well, we really ought to unhook from the media.
Sure, so absolutely.
Too, unless you are, you know, taking it in a study way, you know, you're studying things like you and I are, but you just take it as a information and entertainment and so on. You really, as he said, you know, I mean, I've been aware of this for a long time, but, and like you said, you know, we forget. You forgot, you know, we learn this, but then we forget, and pretty soon we're believing things again.
Sure.
But as he said, you're just being we're just being programmed.
Right.
And movies and television are the best programming, but I was a little concerned when he said, well, the computer does the same thing.
Right.
Same,
I got a little work.
I thought, look, does my computer screen flicker? I wanted to ask, but I didn't listen until after the show in the archive. I want to find out about that, because I spend a lot of time on the computer.
Well, yes, and I do too. But I think that when we are on the computer, we really do need to evaluate, okay, what are we doing? Are we just going from website to website? Are we playing on Facebook? Are we playing mindless games? We need to really make our time productive and decide before we get on the computer, okay, what am I going to do here? And when you've spent 4 hours on the computer, you have to ask yourself, okay, how productive was I? Did I really get anything done? Or did I waste my time, you know, looking at links and, you know, reviewing email or whatever? So it's important. And the other thing that he said on Wednesday was that entertainment is not value free. And so when you're looking at a television program, you need to ask yourself during or afterwards, you need to say, okay, what kind of a message were they trying to convey? Were they promoting a particular lifestyle? Were they and one of the things that he brought up was when you're looking at police shows, and when you see policemen busting into a house with, you know, breaking down the door and, you know, rushing in with their guns drawn, you need to say, okay, that is not constitutional. But if you see that 100 times during a month, then you, all of a sudden, you begin to, or gradually, you begin to accept that that's an okay activity. And pretty soon, when people start talking about the Constitution, basically they're deconstitutionalizing entertainment so that we will accept the fact that the government is actually withdrawing constitutional rights from us as a way of saying, well, look, it was necessary for these people to do that, or it was necessary for those people to prosecute that person for hate speech. When in fact, I mean, you have to really evaluate what is going on and realize that entertainment is not value free, but they are trying to promote.
No, and it shouldn't. It's not free because you know, we pay for it. I don't pay for anything because I don't have TV and I don't go to movies. But you know, you pay to go to movies and you pay for cable or whatever your hookup is to get your cable TV, which everybody has, and then. And then they use it to brainwash and program you. And they should be paying you. At least, you know, I mean, if things were a little more just. But this is the typical way that they do everything nowadays. We pay for our own destruction. This is one of the things that if you could get that across to people, to realize that all of their tax money is going. I'm going to bring that up in connection with this AV and how the Holocaust Museum's help him, or, you know, are behind all this and also behind Weasel and so on. And they are using taxpayer money. Well, Yad Vashem is Israel, but we're giving money to Israel all the time. I'm sure we're supporting that museum, museum there.
Sure.
Americans. So,
well, you know, also when HDTV, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
But when HDTV came into vogue, you know, what, a year ago, Congress actually devoted millions upon millions of dollars to make certain that everybody in the country was somehow hooked up to high-definition TV. And you have to say, well, what's that all about? I mean, is that important that every home have an entertainment center where they can watch TV? I mean, there's something...
Well, they want to make that... They've made that the ultimate for the working people, the poor people, to have a great big TV and to have these... these channels, these movie companies where you have all these movies and all this stuff to watch, so that you will just be taking in this stuff every free hour that you have. And so many people are on disability. Here, I'm getting off into things here, but a tremendous amount of Americans are on disability anymore, and so they don't have to do anything except watch TV. And, and they look like it too. So it's just horrible what's being done. That's why, you know, I love that Pam Kyleen, and I love her message, because I, in all of my study and, you know, over my life of nutrition, I've come to the same beliefs that she puts out. And so I really like her.
Is that how you pronounce her last name?
Oh, I don't know. That's how I pronounce it.
Oh,
how is it pronounced?
I'm going to have to ask her.
Oh,
because I always say
it looks like to me.
Kyleen. Yeah, I'll have to ask her.
It could be Kyleen. She might say it that way. I don't know, but she's this is so important.
Oh, absolutely.
If food affects your mind more than the TV and the movies do.
Really.
And if you can't think straight, you're really in trouble, and we are in trouble.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to do her program. I'm going to do a hair sample and see what it says about how many toxins are in my body. I think that's a great idea.
Well, you're probably in pretty good shape.
I probably am, because I don't do anything dangerous except eat chocolate. Okay, we are going
to... That's my only thing.
We're
my
going
goodness.
To... Dark chocolate. It's got to be dark.
Yeah. 90, at least 85%.
Okay, we'll be right back after a 3-minute break.
Attention RBN listeners, the freeze-dry guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to AshworthTraining.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, and her website is CarolynYeager.com, and she also has EllieWieseltattoo.com. Okay, we were talking about chocolate, but we better leave that and go to something else. Now, we were going to talk about Dennis Avey, and it's amazing that he was and you said that he kind of left out a lot of how he snuck into the camp. Now, if he had tried to sneak into one of Eisenhower's 200 death camps in Germany, he would have been shot before he even touched the barbed wire fence. So it's kind of amazing how he was able to sneak into Auschwitz, and apparently he was right next to, he was in a an officer's camp adjacent to Auschwitz?
It was in a British prisoner of war. They had their own area. They had some British prisoners of war there in the Buna area in what's called Buna. It's a Monowitz. It's, you know, Auschwitz is three parts. Auschwitz, main camp, and then Birkenau, the largest one, and then Monowitz, which was the small camp real close to the IG Farben company plant, that big chemical plant there, that they had people working there. And so, you know, he didn't actually break in. Well, you know, his story is that he was a prisoner of war, and then he was sent to the camp at Monowitz. And they worked, the prisoners, the British prisoners of war worked. And they, of course, they were all British. They kept these different nations' prisoners together. They didn't mix them. They didn't mix them up. And he said they did do. It is true that they did do some labor, but supposedly they were supposed to be kept separate from the other prisoners. But he says that they worked together in this little manufacturing area. And so he met this Jew named. Oh shoot! I have to look for his name, Ernst Lobethal, and from that they managed to talk. He said then he says oh he picked up a little bit of German so he could communicate with them. You know, he had picked it up in his from being in the war. Well, this guy in the first place, he grew up in a farm in Essex. He didn't know any German. He hated German, so he had all that British stuff in him. You know, pumped up, ready to go to war and fight. And he was quite young. And he was like 18 or something when he, you know, joined up in 1939. And he's now 93. And at the time he first started talking about this, he was 91. And so he, you know, didn't talk about another one of these cases where he didn't talk about it all these years. And all of a sudden he comes out with this story. And one point I make, which is very obvious, is that he was fairly young when he participated, and a lot of the British soldiers and officers would have been older than him, and he's now 91 when he starts talking, so they're mostly all gone, if they're not all gone, and he knew that, and so he wasn't going to have anybody who was going to come up and say, oh, hey, I was there, and it wasn't like this, or he, you know,
sure,
I didn't know him, or, he, you know, and the British government at this point is in collaboration with Israel and the Yad Vashem Museum there, and the BBC is working is a part of this from the day one, and which is British government, and they are not going to say anything. I question whether, you know, I would like to see this man's military records, but you know, nobody brings that up. Nobody, of course, there's no question about anything. It's just all, oh, isn't it wonderful, he's so brave, oh, we have such a hero here, and my goodness, how did he deal with that. Oh, all the suffering he went through and the terrible
thing. Sure.
Well, so we have him here who he makes claims that aren't believable. And the way this happened, there's so much to say about this, but the way this happened was that this Ernst Lobethal is a real person, and he survived the war and the camps and all of that. And he in the 1990s, before he died, he made one of those testimonial videos for the Shoah Foundation, in which he told his story. And in it, he said that when he was in Monowitz, there was a British prisoner of war that he called Ginger that he got to know, and this guy named Ginger gave him, or managed to write to his sister in England, his sister had escaped to England when they were younger. This guy was a German Jew. Lobethal was supposed to be a German Jew. And wrote to his sister and had her send him, and she sent 200 cigarettes, you know, in packages to this Ginger. And then Ginger gave them to him somehow. And for that saved his life. Because with those cigarettes, he could sell them, and then he was able to either resole his shoes or get socks to put over his shoes, heavy socks, or mm-hmm. buy shoes. There's different, you know, different accounts. Every time he tells his story back before the book got written, it was a little bit different. That's one thing. He was in three or four different newspaper articles about him, British papers, and they all had discrepancies in them. So they make the claim now that this AV saved the life of this Jew.
Okay. All righty. We will come back with Carolyn Yeager after a few words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager. Her website is carolynyeager.com. And you know, the attraction of personal testimonies, as Dennis Avey's personal testimony, is that it's an emotional connection that others develop to that story. We all now acknowledge that there are thousands of people rotting away in prison because of eyewitness testimonies. However, now that scientific technology has advanced, DNA evidence has proven many of those people innocent. And yet we still fall for the eyewitness, the personal testimony, when in fact, you know, that if you really get right down to it, there are only about two dozen people who claim that they witnessed something. And then when you start questioning those people, it turns out that, you know, they were just, they just heard it from somebody else who heard it from somebody else. And you find that they really didn't see.
Or they're lying because.
Or they're lying.
Everything they say doesn't, you know, what they contradict themselves seriously within their own testimony.
Exactly. And if you read, for instance, Elie Wiesel, if you read his story, you'll find all kinds of contradictions.
Well, for example, now that's a real good point. And for example, this testimony that Ernst Lobethal gave to the Shoah Foundation, and it's on video and everything, and he talks about this man named Ginger, but he does not say a word about this Ginger trading places with him and going into his camp, and he goes to the prison, British prisoner of war camp, And how would that ever work? I mean, you should see the way that Abby describes how that was done. It's just totally, it's just
unbelievable.
Well, totally. It's impossible. And so, but he does it. Now, I don't know how they have changed, maybe have changed it in the book, because I have found, and somebody wrote to me and helped me out with this, somebody from England, found three things that I wrote in my article, which came from the newspaper accounts. You know, this was written up first by BBC, and then it was written up in the London Times, big story. And then the Daily Mail picked it up, and then I think the Independent had a story. And all those stories, you know, they were talking to him, the reporters, and he was messing up, you know, he was saying this and that. But some of the things that he repeated regularly have now been changed, because I pointed out in my article that these things were wrong. And now here's the thing, at least I'm sure that they read my article, because somebody would have sent it to him. You know, there are people who are covering all that stuff, and so they would have sent it to Yad Vashem, and then they say, oh, well, we better fix these things because you know, somebody's talking about this.
Sure.
So, but yet Dennis Avey says that, you know, he uses Ernst Lobetal as his, and so does Yad Vashem, as a source to say this is a true story, when Ernst Lobetal never said anything about this breaking in, you know, trading places and breaking into Auschwitz. And I was going to say real quick that in some of these news articles back a year ago, sometimes it was that it was Ernst Lobetal that he traded places with in one of them, and then in others he traded places with someone else. And in the one I mostly use, he traded places with a Dutch Jew that he just happened to persuade to do that with him. Now, this guy would have been risking his life, and for what, you know? And
sure.
Plus, it couldn't have happened anyway.
Sure. Well, you know, every time I think of the BBC, or if I hear the BBC, I always remember that the young woman who was standing in front of the camera talking about how Building 7 had fallen, had totally collapsed.
Yes.
And in the background, you can see Building 7. And all of a sudden, they pull her off the screen because Building 7 hadn't collapsed yet. But somehow, yep, the BBC knew that it was going to.
And this is that, you know, this is so outrageous. You know, we laugh, but it is so outrageous. And yet, has any, you know, has that affected anything yet? No.
No. No.
And so we know that BBC is behind constant frauds, and this AB thing is another one of them that they're a big sponsor of.
Sure. So are you going to believe the BBC? I don't think so. I mean, when you consider that the multinational corporations have a worldwide monopoly on the media, it isn't just that five companies own the media in this country, it's that five companies own the media in the world.
Yes. Yeah, horrible. It's just, you know, this is stuff, if this could get through people's minds, and this is what we're talking about, there's something wrong with people. They can't seem to feel that there's something they need to do about this.
Sure.
Because this has gotten so bad that I say now, and it just finally dawned on me because of some way I was thinking of about a week ago, just totally and finally and completely, that we are done for, in a sense, you know, unless something can always happen, but we are totally under the control of this of these elements, and there's no question about it. We have no freedom at all. They're only leaving it, they're allowing it to seem that way so that we don't have a big wake up thing, you know.
Sure.
But they keep enough going. But really, we have no say in anything. We have no free. We have the internet, and we talk, and we can still talk to one another, and so on. But we can't affect any change.
I don't want to have that hopeless feeling.
Well, I know,
and I believe that we. I refuse to be hopeless.
Well, I do too. You know, I just say, well, I'm just going to keep working at it. But I mean, it is. It's not hopeless, but at the moment, people need to realize that that we have lost what they think that we still have.
Sure. Well, the majority of the people are really, they are illusionary. They're you know, it's an illusion. And because they can still go to the polls and cast a vote, they think that we have free elections when, in fact, those black boxes are totally controlled. But, like Dr. Duke said this week on my program, there are more of us than there are of them.
Well, that's right.
And we do, if we can just wake up enough people, if enough people will listen to RBN and other radio networks, internet radio networks, that actually broadcast the truth and tell what is really going on out there, then I see that we could have a change.
I agree. And there's something else, too, that struck me the other day. And often I think about it, because to me nature is one of the highest teachers. And if we would just, and nature, for thank God, is so powerful. It is such a huge force. And I go outside away from this work I do, and you know, I'm driving off somewhere and it's just beautiful, and there's a lake close to where I live, and the sun is shining and the trees are all filling out and the sky is blue and everything looks wonderful. And I say, but you know, it is because nature is so big that they can't do it in. But also, nature, because we still see all this, we think everything is all right, you know, because
sure. Look,
everything's still all there and it's nice and it's pleasant. And so, but I agree. I'm not trying to make people feel hopeless, but I do think people don't understand how far gone it is.
And that's deliberate. I'm reading one of the books that I'm reading right now is called "And Not a Shot Was Fired," and really, I mean, it's by Jan Kozak, and it talks about how the communists took over his country with Czechoslovakia, and really without even killing anybody. And that's exactly what is going on here, where we have a government that. Not suddenly, but over time, over the last 100 years, at least till since 1913, have taken away our rights, have taken away so many of the things that we still believe that we have, or at least some people still believe that we have, and it's gradual. Incremental. During the Bush administration with the Patriot Act and with all the legislation that they implemented during those 8 years, we lost more freedoms during those 8 years than with any other president previous to that time. And now we're losing some more. I mean, with the health care legislation, that's our body. They are completely taking over our ability to make choices about our health. I mean, that's terrible. And then when you think about Codex Alimentarius and some of the other things they're doing.
Yeah, well, that's why I won't, I don't want that type of health care. So I'm not in it. I don't have health insurance or anything. Because I don't want to go. I've been in it enough, and I don't want to be in it. So
sure.
But you know, this is speaking of the unreality and the what you called the make believe or whatever.
The illusion.
Yeah, the illusion. Well, now here there's a little story I was wanting to kind of bring up, and that's that Israel recently had an international conference. Well, it's just now, just passed, 4th and 5th of April. A few days ago, they had this, and it was about their image, the Israel's global image crisis, and they have all these experts there and so on, and they're talking about how terrible it is that their public diplomacy and their media strategy is not working like they think it should, you know, and they say we live in the age of information. Information age conflict resolution strategy is comprised of three main elements: power, diplomacy, and communication. Of course, we see they don't care about reality because, you know, they're trying to remake reality for people. So they're working on improving their image in the world through power, diplomacy, and communication. And so this is what we're up against, that everybody is doing this, and it's all about image, and it's all about all this advanced communication we have nowadays. And so we do need, like your guest the other day, that mind control.
Jacobson. Stephen Jacobson.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing we need to really be educating our people about. And it's
right.
hard because they like the entertainment value.
Sure.
You know, but it's hard to break people from all these things, food, entertainment, all the easy things that give them some sense of comfort and so on.
Sure.
Well, you're never going to get everybody. I mean, it's always a leadership. I've come to the conclusion, there's always a leadership in society that is going to make the changes. And then the mass of the people will follow along with whoever is in power, really.
Sure.
You know, if one party, well, you have this two-party system is one thing, but really, if you really took over power one another group, well, they just all go along with that then, because that's the nature of it.
Sure.
But there's another fraud thing going on that I would like to bring up, and that's the mass graves. Some interesting information about mass graves, which includes weasel. So I don't know when you want to, if you want
sure.
to that.
Hey, just go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, we're always, you know, mass graves is another one of those words that, start people off. Oh, they believe that there's just mass graves all over Europe full of Jews, you know. And yet they have never been able to find any Jews in mass graves except a few here and there. And most of these big graves, well, there's a lot of Germans in mass graves. And in the more southern part, there's a lot of Croatians and mostly in some other groups that were allies of Nazi Germany during the war. So all of those people were slaughtered in large numbers and are being found in mass graves. And then also there are the 20,000 Poles in the Katyn Forest. Those people who were massacred, those Polish officers, they were massacred by the Russians. And yet, we can't find any of these Jews. But now there's, I will get to those with the Romanian grave. But first, just in the news, three months ago, I found this just yesterday, that 3 months ago, because I had seen the article that the graves were not what they thought they were. But it says in January of this year, the news media came out with a big story, mass grave of Nazi euthanasia victims uncovered. Well, they had found that there were some bodies, they're actually in the cemetery there, of this hospital. It was a hospital in Tyrol, which is between Austria and Italy. And they said, these were these euthanasia victims who had been killed. And then they went through the whole story, you know, that they talk about how terrible the Nazis were, what they did, and how they were just killing anybody who wasn't who they didn't like, you know, in these mm-hmm. hospitals. And now, in Wednesday, March 30th, the story comes out, and yet the first story was very big title, you know, with a picture, and the second story was very small, smaller type, and not very long. And it says officials. It says this, graves yield no signs of Nazi atrocity, according
right.
to the Austrian officials. They exhumed them and they did all kinds of tests on them, and they can't find any proof or any evidence that these were even people with major that these were people who had been starved, who had been gassed or anything like that, and that they were there's about 220 of them, and they were people with major physical and mental disabilities. So they could have been euthanized and they could have died, but they were serious cases. But they were not starved, and because they had said that they thought that the Nazis just left a bunch of them there to starve and die, and that you know it just wasn't the way that they were putting it out to be.
Sure.
So,
when Fritz Berg was on my program last week, he said that one of the few hospitals in Berlin that the Allies didn't bomb was the Jewish hospital, and it was clearly marked with the Star of David, and that the patients lived out the entire war, were well fed, you know, well, at least according to what the other Germans, what Germans had to eat, that they had food, and that they stayed the whole time in the hospital, and yet the Allies bombed the majority of all of the other hospitals in Berlin, and that was one of their main targets. And I mean, if you read the books, you'll know that's true. Okay, we are going to another break, and we will be back in 3 minutes with my guest today, Carolyn Yeager.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager, and her website is carolynyeager.com. She is the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour. And you've actually been there.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Right.
And now I would, it's very interesting. I could talk a lot about that, more than I have, even more than I've got in my little book. So, I would like to point out now, going back to EllieWieseltattoo.com, and the mass grave business and who's in the graves, that, in November last year, I wrote a couple of, blog posts on there because the news had come out on November 5th. It was announced by the Elie Wiesel Foundation for the Study of the Holocaust in Romania that they had discovered a mass grave of Jews who were massacred, you know, as part of the Holocaust by the Romanian army under the command of the Nazis. And there were, they estimated about 100 bodies in this grave. They had only uncovered a few, and now they had, you know, were making a big public announcement of it. And then they went on, they go on, you know, detailing their version of what happened at that time. And then they want to have this declared, you know, what would you call it? A sacred
a national cemetery or something,
yeah,
national monument
for them. And they're gonna, and they don't want to disturb the bones and so on. Well, thank God the Romanian and I wrote my second post. If anybody wants to go there and read them, they're in the November archive. Quite humorous, this Time magazine blog, which detailed. The guy was serious, but he told the story of how they found this and this fellow who said that he remembered from that time he was there and he saw what happened, and then his daughter talked about it. And if we have time, I'll mention that. But right now, I'll just go ahead with this. And so but the Romanian authorities said, and I have that there, that the chief prosecutor said, we do not know who these are yet. We don't know what they could be. Military. They could be German or Russian military people. They found military weapons there too in that grave. And he said, we cannot determine. We have not determined that they are Jews. And he sounded very forceful. So I thought, well, good. They're going to stand their ground and they're going to do this properly. And they did. I've been watching for further developments, and nothing came up until just 2 days ago. I saw this, that now the thing is all, I guess there's some kind of closure. But what happened was they did dig up everything they could find there. It turned out to be 35 skulls and some other related bones, I guess. But the Jewish rabbis are saying, and the newspaper accounts and so on, are saying that, well, it's probably 40 because there's some other stuff there. And then some other newspapers are saying, well, it's 60 and up to 100. So, you know, they're still going back to what Wiesel's Foundation said in the beginning. And they, you know, the way they write these stories is quite amazing. But what happened was they did their testing. I don't think they can tell. They can't tell because nobody has said. They don't say that they're Jews. And if they had said, well, it looks like these are Jews, you know, all these rabbis are involved in this from around the world and making a big deal out of it. And if they had said, well, these are probably Jews, they would be announcing that big time, you know, but they're not. But they handed over all these remains to these rabbis, this committee of rabbis. And this, they had to do some negotiating. And so but they have to bury them in the Jewish cemetery in that town there. They were not allowed to do what they wanted to do.
Wow.
And so they have pictures. I'm going to do a post on this. I'm working on it now. And the pictures are quite amazing.
Okay, we do have to take our top of the hour break. We'll be back in 1 minute.
The next